grating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, made it home here, checking my over here for you real quickly this morning. Picked up a little bit of a cold. Don't know where I picked it up. Bugged me all weekend. You know, we were in at Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas, and man, had that little thing trying to get on me all day. Hey, let me tell you this before I dive too much into what we're going to talk about today, and you can help me flick a few fleas if you want to. Got him. You know, one of the things about when you travel, like Michelle and I just did, and we went to Hear the Watchman Conference, which was really good, and I'll talk about that here in a second, is you kind of lose track of with what's going on. Really, you know, you don't spend a lot of time. I didn't anyway. You know, checking the internet and all that kind of stuff. So you get back home and dive in, try to do a little bit of show prep, and I realize I'm about 4 days behind. And just a couple things that I realized. I got some great information this weekend. Talked to some a variety of people. You know, that's one of the great. That's one of the things we battle the most. Is for the most part, we tend to. How do I say this? We tend to listen to the same people all the time, and love to get different perspectives on what's going on. How about this? Growing back in again, Kenny. Let me Colbert get back on there again. I was around some really, really, really great folks this weekend, and I'm going to share some of that with you today. But I want to say this before I get too far. Folks, listen to me right now. Hear me. I want you to hear me as well as you can hear me. That coronavirus, if it's spreading, hey, dudes, forget it. It is spread. It is spread. That's all I can tell you. I was thinking last night when I got on the airplane, Michelle and I are in there, we're packed up. A guy told me yesterday that heard it from two guys. On buses, when we park at the airport, and then you park your car, and they drive you to the terminal, those buses. Two different drivers said the same thing. It's the busiest the airports have ever been. In all their years working, the Trump economy is... People are flying like they have never flown, ever. So I want to think about just yesterday. How many people flew yesterday? How many? Now, I picked up a cold somewhere. I don't know. Where do you pick up a cold? I don't know. Did you pick it up in the airport? Did I pick it up at my local Walmart? Did I get it at the post office? Did I pick it up off of a package that somebody delivered to my house? I don't know. I don't know. But I got a little bit of a cold somewhere, right? So how did I get it? Who spread it to me? Where did it come? I don't know. But I know this, that when I sat down in the airplane, I got into a seat somebody else just got out of. I just know that. The plane, in fact, that brought us home was a little bit late. So they said, listen, we're going to get the people off and we're going to clean it up. And then you people get on and we'll get airborne. And we're all excited about that. But I know that sitting right where I was somebody else, not 10 minutes before. Are they hacking and coughing in their nose? Point is what? Folks, it's already out there, man. It's already out there. And I understand what everybody's saying in regards to, you know, locking people down and quarantining people. I get it. But I'm telling you, if it's what it says it is, you ain't stopping it, man. You ain't stopping it. You're not stopping it. And so I saw a couple of things. One that was really, really, really kind of eye-opening to me. And, I was listening to the discussion, and you folks who watch this show regularly know that I don't pick up the coronavirus and run with it. I mean, and to me, it is what it is. It's not the coronavirus that's the problem, folks. It's the panic that's around it. And we have to ask ourselves, who's generating and continuing to push the panic? Who's doing that? From Chance from Survival Wholesale. I always get his. You guys know who I am. Chance the Food Guy, right? Survival Wholesale. Survival. Somebody will get it for me. I love Chance. He told me his phone. He's out of. He is out of food. Chance is out of food. His phone has rang nonstop for the last 2 weeks. They're out of food. You hear what I'm telling you? That this is that prepared 30-year life shelf life stuff. They are out of food, right? So that tells me this, that people are, whether we want to admit it or not, in some type of wakened or panic mode. That people are calling him, ordering no food. He doesn't have any food. He's waiting for a shipment to come in. So what, Coach? So I see it as preparation that people should have already done. They should have already have done the preparation. They haven't done the preparation. The panic is, I believe, artificially driven. I believe there's something to the coronavirus. I believe people are getting sick. I believe people are dying from it. But I don't believe it's the, they're going to call it a pandemic. Because why? It's hitting a lot of places, and I believe that it is. I believe some people are going to die from it. I believe most. I got a cold, and it's not the. As far as I know, it's not the coronavirus. So it's this. It's the spinoff, folks. It's the spinoff that we have to. American Wholesale, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Thanks, man. That's it. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. It's folks. Hey, it's the panic. It's the spinoff. That is of a concern. Yeah, is that Larry? Go ahead, Larry.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I made a video yesterday. I believe the Holy Spirit had me do that video and gave me what to put in it, and it mirrors what you're saying now, but takes a little different spin than what you seem to be putting on. But I'm not gonna try to second guess your motives. But yeah, it's not time to panic. My video says it's time to be hopeful and excited about if things are bad, if they get the way they say they're going to get, this may just give us the opportunity we need and open the door for some reset buttons to be pushed and Larry, let's get our country back to where it belongs.
I was heading there, Larry. Somebody explain this to me. Oil is cratering. Oil, it's like $31 a barrel. Now you say, Coach, why is that a big deal? It's a big deal because we live in OPEC. Remember OPEC, right? Remember oil. We are a petroleum-based economy. The dollar is tied to petroleum, or petroleum is tied to the dollar. So a crash in petroleum is going to cause some type of turmoil in the markets. Now, what does that mean? Point Larry just made, and I tend to agree with it. This should be for us an exciting time to do some resets that need to be reset. I ain't worried about, listen. I'm talking about me. I'm not worried about dying from coronavirus, okay? I'm not worried about it. I might get the flu. I might get bad. I may get the hacks. I'm not worried about it. I am not worried about it. But we have to be smart enough to understand that there is right now panic buying going on. And we spoke to some people this weekend who said, without a doubt, when you go to the ports, San Diego, wherever this stuff is coming in, folks, they're not operating. China, for whatever reason, has been shut down. And that what we're looking at, we are not going to feel the effects of probably for at least 2 months. Whatever it is, we're not going to feel the effects of it. You aren't going to. But you better understand this. You're going to feel the effects of it. In regards to supplies, food, whatever. We're going to feel those, okay? We're going to feel those. Now, we as Christians, we have to figure out what's our response to this thing going to be. I refuse to be panicked. I refuse to. I'm sitting in that airport yesterday watching all those people getting on and off planes and passing them in the aisle. And it's so, gee, man, the lines go forever. And I'm thinking, man, whatever it is, I got it. How could I not have it, man? It's everywhere, right? And so they could say, well, we got to close down. Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, what do you do? How do you close down now? So again, I think we need to use a little bit of wisdom in that if this is not the whatever they're trying to tell us it is. Folks, let use it as an opportunity to not be caught with your pants down again in regards to water and food and something. Come on. To me, that's the message. That's the message. I said to Michelle, we'll go out today and we'll buy a little bit more food. We've got some food stored. How much food are you going to store? 6 years? 12 years? I mean, what? Huh? What? If this epidemic is going to kill everybody, well, you'll be able to eat them. I mean, right? So let's have a little bit of common sense about it. I believe it's real. I believe it's the flu. I believe it's maybe a more severe flu. But I think if we look at the statistics, the people who are dying are probably the elderly, probably those who aren't real healthy to begin with. Got to be careful because I'm 67. And I guess I'm now one of the elderly.
Or you could look at it as the first group to be targeted.
Whatever.
The weakest. They're at the edge of the pack. And if it is coordinated, we could expect the next weakest group to fall to the next thing. Larry's video is good. I think that this is a great chance. We should be excited because you can do things for people. They listen. So you have a chance to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this is exciting for us, because we can go out amongst people and do this work, Coach.
I believe that too. You know, and we saw it this weekend. The best, in my opinion, the best Hear the Watchman conference I've ever been part of, because it was very, very focused. And we didn't get so much into the stars and the moon and Israel. In fact, I don't even know if Israel's even mentioned, praise the Lord, from my standpoint. And so the people that were there were a lot more focused on what was going on. And we tried to impress upon them that, hey, folks, if you guys, those of you who are, I don't want this to sound wrong. If you believe it's the end times, if you really, really believe in that the eastern sky could split and this whole thing could be over, we ought to have a great urgency and a great peace. We ought to have those two things, because the Bible calls it the blessed hope, right? Not the blessed dread. So if we really, really believe that, then we ought to say, well, Lord, this is it. Lord, here I am. Use me. Let's get on with it. And I'm going to tell you, the people who canceled didn't come to the conference. Mike said Mike Kerr said about, they had maybe 20 people cancel the hotel rooms. They didn't want to, listen to me. You're not going to avoid that virus. It's everywhere. You're not going to avoid it. It'll make its way through it. And it is what it is. So I would say again, I don't want to get camped on this. Wisdom, just wisdom, all right? Wisdom. And as long as you can, go buy some extra stuff. And yes, have some water.
Hey, but Coach.
We can all name 20 scares like this that we've had. And each time it happens, people get panicked. You go buy a bunch more stuff. Just get prepared and stay prepared. Yeah, Mark.
Remember the chicken pox? You would almost have a controlled exposure. You take your kids through it. Is this that kind of thing? I mean, we're going to make it through it, but if we do it in a controlled fashion, we go get exposed to it, you know, and we make it through it intentionally. I don't know if that's better or not. Are we in that situation, right?
It's one of those things you don't know where you are till you get beyond it. Remember the Y2K scare, what that thing was like? And now we kind of laugh at ourselves for the way we treat. Well, we have to stay in a constant state of preparation. That's what I would say. That's what I would say. I'd say stay away from me, because if anybody's got it, I got it. Because in the airports, you don't know where these people are coming from. You don't know who sat in the seat before. You go to a restaurant, you don't know who picked up the menu before you did. You sit down, grab a hamburger at McDonald's, you don't know who sat at the table before you. You go to the bathroom, you pull on the door. Any door you walk into, you don't know who grabbed it just before you did. You go get gas, you grab the nozzle, you don't know who held the nozzle just before you did. So this thing, if it is a pandemic, it's going to hit.
Yeah, Coach.
Yes.
You know, you're absolutely right. But here's another thing to think of. What happened in China, according to outside observers and Monday morning quarterbacking, mm-hmm. What happened in China is the virus spread so fast and so furiously that it totally overloaded the medical capability of Wuhan, and that's the Hubei province and the city mm-hmm. of Wuhan, and even got to the rest of China, that their medical facilities were not able to take care of the people. That's why they had to build those two emergencies. They called them hospitals. They were nothing but
morgues,
temporary bedding places for people that were going to die because they couldn't get the medical care they needed.
Yeah.
So we're
that's what needs to happen. Proactive action to slow it down. Like you say, you're not going to stop it. It's too late to stop it. But slow it down so it doesn't overwhelm our medical capabilities.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think, folks, it's not the virus itself. It's everything that's connected to the virus that's going to cause the problems. I think that we're going to find out the stock market's going to open today, and people don't know where that thing's going to go because that's inflated anyway, right? So there's going to be financial issues that are involved with it. There's going to be, just a lot of things, man. Just a lot of things.
Hey, yeah, the market.
Hold on. Are you okay? Hold on. Prepare and hold on. Jack, I heard you.
Now, the market's going to open 1,000 down. The Dow futures are already 1,200 down before the market.
Yeah. So what? What does that even mean? What does that mean?
It just means that we're having a sell-off, that's all.
That's right.
The market's selling off.
There's turbulence within the markets and probably needs to be some turbulence. Probably some type of correction will be a good thing, right? I got a lot of stuff from this weekend that I want to share with you. I think would be good. I heard someone else try to come in as well. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
Regarding the food category, since 9/11, Homeland Security and stuff, and our federal government's taking control of a lot of stuff. But just regarding food, I know since under Bush and Obama gave the authority, the Congress gave the authority to the president to make determinants to take your food away from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, all politics is going to become even more local. I think it's a good thing. The less we have to depend on Washington and D.C., the better off, at least from my standpoint. Let me get to some things here real quickly that I think are important. Number one, I always meet some great folks. First of all, I want to thank Chad and Michelle Estes. Chad's just all in, man. Chad's just all in. He came up and he brought Albert Mora with him. God bless you, Al. Thanks for coming, man. They did the security. Al and Chad were the security at the event. And Chad's just a great trooper. And it's all good. It's all good. So I appreciate those guys. And got to see David Hawkins and Kevin Van Story came down. And I'm going to forget somebody. I always forget somebody. Got to spend some time with it. And so it was really good, you know. Mark Sutherland, got to spend some time with Mark Sutherland. I had this was so awesome. I wish I had the number. I had this wonderful, wonderful black. Why do we have to identify people by their skin color? Why do we? But you do, right? I had this wonderful, wonderful black woman and her nephew come up and just blew me away. Just blew me away. How much her daughter, her niece, loves the show and watches the show. And so I got in a great discussion with her about black and white and all that. And you know, she's Jesus. She ain't no color to her. She ain't no color. No color to me. And to see how when we cut through all that crap, all those fake facades that they put up against us, it's just real people, man. It's just real people. And she said something that was so encouraging to me. She said, Coach, I could right now. She said, I could go find 6 or 8 black men that are listening to you that you don't even know they're listening to you. She said, oh, yeah. She said, their ears are open. Their ears are open. And I believe that. I don't just believe black and white. I believe they're more ears open than we really. We can't miss this time, boys. We can't miss this. This is going to be one of those times that they're going to be talking about, whether we're at the beginning of a Great Depression, whether we're of a cultural upheaval, whether we are the spiritual revival. We are, as I've said, something's happening here. We are at a precipice of which we only after this whole thing's over are we going to understand. And now is the time to be more bold in our approach in everything that we do, everything that we do. We got to tear down strongholds, imaginations, casting down strongholds and imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it to captivity. Where is that in the scripture? Is Dale with us today? Somebody help me. I'm casting down imaginations. Let's pull that up there, Chad, because much of what we're talking about, our imaginations. Imaginations are nothing more than images in our brain, things that our brain thinks about, casting down imaginations, taking captive every thought. Does anybody know where that is? Let me get in the, see if anybody's telling me over here in the chat. So we have to do that, okay? We have to take captive those thoughts. And we have to, thank you. 2 Corinthians 10, Polly says. 2 Corinthians 10. We have to begin to do that. We have to become more bold. We have to become more edgy. Because whether you know it or not, there are many people who are being awakened every day. Not totally awakened, but they're being awakened. And some of us in the queue here, most of you, if you're in here, we're ahead of most people, folks. We're ahead of them. And they're going to begin asking questions, or you need to begin to volunteer questions. You need to begin to ask them questions. Because we found out it was really, really, everybody in that room, again, there aren't many churchgoers, folks. We're not talking about churchgoers here. We're talking about people who love the Lord and they've washed their hands with the church. They have. By the millions are out there. And they know that they haven't been getting the answers. And we have them. We don't have all of them, but we got a lot of them. We got a lot of them. Did we find 2 Corinthians there, Jared? Because I believe this is where, I believe it's the battleground of the mind. I'm sorry, let me see. I believe that it is a battleground of the mind. And we have to understand, For the weapons of all, this is 2 Corinthians. Jared, let's start number one there if we can, just for a second. Verse one. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the meekness, again, is not meek. It's controlled, under power. By the control, I beseech you by the strong, powerful control and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I walk. I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. I wish I could go back and spend some time with Paul and just walk around and get a feel for who he was, what he was about. But that would make all the difference. Huh? Was Paul like Rocky Balboa, or was Paul like Mr. Rogers? What kind of personality did Paul have? Because a personality makes so much difference, doesn't it? When you read something they write. Like when I read something, when I write something, I put it on the internet. People who read the stuff I write, see, they have an impression of who I am, right? What's the impression we have of who Paul was? What was he really? What was Jesus like? What was it? Well, that'd be something. For though we walk in the flesh, our battle's not against the flesh. We know this, right, folks? We know this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now look, that's parentheses. He almost kind of threw that in as an aside, didn't he? Why? Because he said we have to cast down imaginations. Hey, Jared, good point. Good chance to go to Mr. Webster there. What's an imagination, Jared? Imaginations. Image, word pictures, forming thoughts and things in your eyes, in your mind. Imagination is what? The power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things communicated to it by the organs of sense. Wow. Imagination, its proper sense, signifies a lively conception of objects in sight. It is distinguished from conception, wow, as a part of the whole. We would define imagination to be the will working on the materials of memory. Jeez. Not satisfied with following the order prescribed by nature or suggested by accident, it selects the parts of the whole of different conceptions of objects or memory to form a whole more pleasing or more terrible or more awful than have ever been presented in the ordinary course of nature. Hey, Mark, I thought of you, Mark, because I ran into a guy named Dr. Goodvibes. He's a chiropractor out of Wisconsin. And mm-hmm. Mark, he's all into the vibes, all into vibes and mm-hmm. thoughts. And I mean, brother, you need to spend some time with Dr. Goodvibes. And, you know, I thought this was really interesting. I asked him about this. I've been waking up in the middle of the night. Like, I got to get up and go to the bathroom, right? So I get up and go to the bathroom. When I come back, I lay my head down on the pillow, and immediately I feel like I'm wide awake. And I feel like I'm wide awake. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Because all of a sudden, these thoughts come into my head of things I got to do, and this could happen. And all these things just boom, 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 boom. And I have a hard time getting back to sleep. And I noticed when Sunday morning, I said to Dr. Good Vibes, since I've been here Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, I have not wakened up one time thinking about the things I think about when I'm at home. Not one time has that happened to me. What's going on? Why, when I'm in my home, am I thinking about something else in the middle of the night? And when I'm here on the road, when I wake up, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about something. There's something there, folks. There is something there. And he said, which I thought was right, he said, well, there's familiar vibrations around your home. That just made so much sense, right? When I go to the hotel, those vibrations aren't there because they're here. That sound crazy?
Because it didn't sound crazy. No, because it's made of elements. Each of the elements have frequencies. They have protons, neutrons, they spin, they're magnetic.
So
the elements in your home are interacting with all the other things in your home, and it creates a signature.
There you are.
We're impacted by the signatures of the areas we go. You go into an oppressive area, you feel oppressed. Feel it. Just the way it is. You feel it. That's right.
Hey, Mark, it was amazing. And folks, I was the first speaker on Friday morning. I got to tell you something, if you don't mind me saying it. That room was electric. Now, why was it electric? It was electric because they could feel what was coming out of me. Do you understand that? They could feel what was coming out of me. There was a real vibe to what was coming out of me. And that's why we get circled back around to the desire to speak the word boldly. We're in 2 Corinthians. Is that where we are? Casting down imaginations, right? And that's why sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and that thought's there and you got to try to cast that thing down. Sometimes you count sheep and sometimes you quote Bible verses and sometimes you pray, doing everything you can to try to change that vibe that's causing that imagination. And I said to my wife, why is it when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm having these imaginations in my head, why are they all negative? Why don't I wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, man, tomorrow somebody's going to come by and pay off my house? Why don't I ever have those vibes? Why are our vibes always seem to be negative? Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Hey, dudes. Pardon me. What does that mean? Every high thing. Now watch this. Paul has made this thing living. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts. He put life into that thought. Every high thing that exalts itself. That high thing exalts itself. Wow. Every high thing that makes you think something against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the battle. That's the battle. And in your half-wakened state, you can't do that. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling as I'm talking to you here today. Because last Wednesday night, I woke up about 3 o'clock and I counted sheep, I counted dogs, I counted cats, I counted feathers in the pillow. And I could not shake it. So I said, well, that's it. I'm going out on the couch. And I went out, well, I laid my head down on the couch and I was asleep. Something going on there, man. Hey, and having, it's a second. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There's something there, man. Something there. Yeah, come on in.
You know, Ken, I'd like to throw a little scriptural history and context in here. and add to what you're saying. You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, it tells us to practice and to learn how to discern good from evil. Because, mm-hmm. see, those imaginations could also be called a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And God, you know, God can use dreams about bad things to guide people to do good stuff. Example, didn't Joseph receive a dream that told him to take Jesus and head out of country so he wouldn't get slaughtered?
Sure.
But so Larry, our learning to practice good from evil, discerning good from evil, has a very, very practical purpose in our lives.
It does. But I'm talking about not dreams, thoughts. Wow, there's so much there. So much there we don't know. I met this weekend a lot of good people. But I met Kevin Shipp. Hey, Jared, click on that. ForTheLoveOfFreedom.net. Kevin Shipp. We'll have Kevin on here soon. And he say, I said, well, I've never heard of Kevin Shipp. Well, I'm going to show you Kevin Shipp here in a minute. Kevin Shipp is a former deep state CIA guy. Now that you guys see him on the screen, you maybe now recognize him. Well, I was, he knows the deep state. he's had many assassination attempts on him, on he and his family. And I asked him, I said, Kevin, how come you're still alive, man? What's going on? They leaving you alone? And he said, well, coach, here's the truth. He said, I've kind of come to an agreement with him that I'm going to talk about this. And as long as I talk about this, we're okay. But if I go over here, it's a different story. And he said, I got a lot of stuff that I don't talk about because I got permission to talk about this. And it's the deep state and all the stuff that we know, all of that stuff. He was really, really fascinating. And so Coach, we're going to have Kevin on here in the next few days. We'll get him lined up to come in. But here's what really impressed me. He's a deep, deep, deep believer in Jesus. Deep believer in Jesus. Really, really encouraged me. Really encouraged me. Because I knew what was coming out of his mouth was the truth. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Joseph.
You got very lucky to meet him.
I know I was. I know. Not only just meet him, but spend some time with him, right? And here's what I'm always looking for. People say, Coach, gee, Coach, stop it. You're doing too many things. I hear that a lot. I just go with the flow. I thought, man, I need to have a conference here, just a one-day conference with Kevin Shipp. I asked him if he'd come. Sure, I'll come. Can you imagine that? Get in the room, let him explain to you what's really going on, where those trails really do run. Fascinating guy.
You got to do that in a secure bunker with no cell phones, no internet, and no batteries, no nothing, so he can really talk.
Yeah, well, like I said, he told me there's things that he cannot talk about. If he talks about him, they're going to come after him. He made it very, very clear. He said, we just kind of reached an agreement. I can talk about this. I mean, you look right there at his bio, right? Credentials, cover-up, concealed documents, final revelation, illegal redactions. I mean, he knows it. He's got it, man.
Hey, he can do that website. He needs Homa Abedin next to him so he can talk about it.
Well, here's the thing. Again, that really, really struck me is his faith is deep. His faith is deep, and so made him much more. What do I say? Trustworthy to me. His faith is deep. It really, really is. And you know, they've tried to kill him three different times, and I mean, he tells stories about it. So we're going to get Kevin Shipp on here, and we're going to try to do some more things with him, folks. Yeah.
Also, I wanted to say about that, if you ain't ever had people try to kill you before because of stuff you're saying, it's easy to say, well, let's just go here and he can say whatever he wants. It's easy to say that if you're mm-hmm. not the one with anything at risk.
That's right.
So I'm just saying, just for a group of people that you don't even know and you, just to have a conference. Okay. That's a lot of stuff at risk. And so,
yeah.
Count the cost. What it says, right? Biblical, count the cost before you start it.
That's true. I mean, that's true. I'm sure if we have a conference with Kevin Shipp, we're going to go high up on that list as well. But he's a good guy to meet, and we'll have him on here. We'll do more with him. And then I'm looking at my list over. Jamie Waldron was exceptional again. God bless Jamie.
Hey, Coach, what was that website again for Kevin?
Kevin's website is fortheloveoffreedom.net.
fortheloveoffreedom.net.
All right, thanks. I want, Coach, if I could, I want to throw in just a little bit. I actually got to sit and talk with Mark Sutherland from England for about 2.5 hours.
Mark was on the show.
About 2.5 hours. Yeah, he's been on the show. And then I also got to have and Kevin come over and sit and talk with me and Mark for 45 minutes. I'm telling you, I was enlightened so much. And he said, I've been doing stuff for quite a while. And he was very forthright in what has happened in his life and, you know, the hits that happened on him and his family. And his wife has some serious issues, will have for probably the rest of her life.
Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, just being enlightened, he's gone through, and just getting a sample of his knowledge, it was very humbling. But he knows what he can say, he knows what he can't say, and he knows he also has had to draw that line of, okay, I'm not going to let him kill me, and I'm not going to let him kill my wife, and I'm going to do as much as I can. But I do know, as you said, his faith in Christ Jesus is real. Mm-hmm. It's deep, and it's convicted.
He told the story, folks, that when he was starting to do some of his whistleblower stuff, that he knew he was in a little. He knows how the game's played, right? So he knew he was talking about some stuff he probably shouldn't talk about, and he went around and he put a little strip on every one of his windows, so he would know if his windows had been lifted. He went around. He came home one night, and it was clear that his windows had been opened. And he went and couldn't figure out what was going on, and got a black light. You guys know what black lights are. He got out a black light and shined it and saw up on the ceiling some agent had been painted on the ceiling in his house. An agent that would have been deadly for him. Would have been deadly. We led to some, I don't know whether it was a bacteria, I don't know what it was. And so this guy's, he's walked it. So we'll have him on here soon. And it was just very, very enlightening. Hey, this weekend, the Wisconsin Christian News Expo. I want to give a tip of the cap to Rob. Hey, is Rob in here today? Rob, have you been here? Excuse me. Have you been hearing from the coronavirus folks that aren't going to come, Rob? I don't know. Is Rob in here? He's a pretty busy guy. I don't see him anymore. Well, so anyway, it's this weekend, and I'm going to be there, and Lexi's going to be there. And then after this weekend's over, maybe I get to be home here for a little bit. So if you're up in that area, the Wisconsin Christian News, Jared's got it up there on the screen. Jared, click on that. There's your speakers. Curtis Bowers, who did the film producer of Agenda, the Agenda documentary, and Dr. Mike Spaulding and Jake McCulley, Institute on the Constitution. He's a good young dude. And, of course, Usama Dakdok and Jamie and Lexi Hall and the coach and David Arthur, and it's a great event. So if you're up in that area, try to come by and join us. Let me see what other note I want to make sure I cover. I told you about food. Chance at Survival Wholesale, whatever. Mental block. People are storing food. It's real, folks. Give food. See, Chance has got that American Survival Wholesale. Chance say, listen, any food, there isn't any food. You can try to order it if you want to, but he doesn't have any. And I know Dr. Mike Spaulding is deals in food, storage food as well. Dr. Mike, you in here? Do you have any, Doc? I don't see him in here this morning. Remember, folks, it's not about this one, although it is. We just need to stay in a state of preparedness and readiness and yada, yada, yada. Josh Tolley, that's another guy I got to get plugged in with. Some of you, man, oh, man. What a wonderful presentation he made about independent living away from, rather, the entrepreneurship and the desire and the need for all of us to get ourselves free from the man and ways to be able to do it. That was powerful, powerful. Cool. Somebody come in. We got 20 minutes left. I got some stuff I could dump on you. I don't feel like I'll dump it on you right now. Just not heading that direction.
Regarding food, you know, a lot of people are going to Costco and that's the place that's getting rushed. But what I found was I went to Kroger at 6 o'clock in the morning and you go that early. The guys are still stocking shelves and everything is stocked. All the water stocked, all the toilet paper, everything is stocked, and nobody's in the store. So that's a good place. That's a good time to go.
Folks, listen to me. Please hear this. There are going to be shortages. Maybe not right now. The shortages are probably going to be 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks down the road because shipping from China has basically stopped. And what was it I heard somebody say the other day? 30%. Like 30% of the stuff we get here in the U.S. comes from China or comes through China, 30%. So think about that. All the dollar stores and all the Walmarts and all those guys that are bringing all that stuff in from China, it's going to stop. I heard a guy say, maybe it was Josh Tolley, one of them said, it may be 2 years before we recover from a supply standpoint from what's going on. It might take 2 years to get all the factories back working again in China and all that stuff and production up and everybody getting caught up. So we're coming into a period here that, some serious things that we need to be considered about. And even though, understand this, if the coronavirus is over tomorrow, there are delays in the supply chain that are going to take a long time to get those things back up and running.
Coach, can I say something?
Please do, Joseph.
A lot of us are in our middle 40s or 50s and 60s. We grew up, I know I grew up, my parents canning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a resource that is out there right now, is learn how to can. Our food's lasted 2 years. We can from everything from meat to down to vegetables.
Well, Joseph, let me stop you right there a second, brother, because God, in his grace and his mercy and his benevolence, this is breaking in the spring. Folks, you can plant a garden. You can plant a garden.
Right.
Now, as we know, the food's not going to be ready next week, but it's going to come due maybe at a time when you need it. So all of you out there ought to consider some way to be able to get yourself a garden and grow some stuff and then do what Joseph is saying, learn to can it. Remember when Jesus said, pray that your flight doesn't come in the winter? Well, praise the Lord, we've come out of the winter. And we have a chance right now to do some preparation on our own. Make that a habit in your life as well, to grow a garden every spring. Can it. Keep that stuff around.
Good. A lot of people are buying this mountain house and all that. And, you know, and you're not eating that normally every day. Buy the stuff you normally eat every day, as long as it's not processed fast food or whatever. This mm-hmm. is stuff we need to be setting aside. You can buy 5 times as much as that stuff as you can, like the mountain house and all that other kind of stuff. Yep. Don't forget also some Thrive products and things like that. So,
long-term, folks, long-term, okay? This isn't just now because of the coronavirus. We ought to all have this in our home anyway. And please think about this, because Michelle and I have done this. When I go to the store, we go to the store, we begin buying stuff. I'm now thinking about my grandkids and my brother. The guy, my brother's not prepared. Yeah, maybe I need to, you know, is he going to come over? Are they going to? So this is a great opportunity for us to get ahead of it a little bit and be thinking.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Jack,
this
go,
is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle correction. We have an opportunity to reset a lifestyle.
Yeah,
we got to get away from the daily trip to get our mac and cheese.
Yes, sir. Right.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, I don't know that I've ever done this before, but I'm going to ask a great big favor from you. Check with the Holy Spirit. We've got 15 minutes left. Play. Have Jared play my video that 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday morning, woke up and this the video that I posted as a result of that.
All right.
I sent.
Looking for it. Somebody else can go ahead and find it.
No, not that one. Let them find it. Okay. Not there.
Come in while you're looking for it.
I agree with Jack, Coach. I appeal to everyone.
I put the link in the chat earlier, Chad. I mean, Jared. Sorry,
change your lifestyle.
Change your lifestyle. That's what I said. Yeah, change your lifestyle.
This is the chance.
Yep, it is. Get ahead of it. Get ahead of it. We're okay, folks. I think the shortages and stuff, we'll see them down the road. And I think right now we still have the ability to get stuff. Let's get it. Okay, Larry, here we go.
Larry Richardson here. I want to take this opportunity to urge everyone who watches this video to take it as an optimistic view of what is happening around the world and here in the United States concerning the novel coronavirus 2, which is causing the COVID-19 epidemic. Do not use this situation to trigger fear and panic, but rather let it build a sense of hope and excitement in you. Hope in that as bad as things might, and I say might, get, it may just provide an opportunity for those of us here in the United States to push some reset buttons as we rebuild the leftovers of our country at the end of this epidemic. I know that there are many of you who think this COVID-19 stuff is all a bunch of overhyped fake news. I would ask you not to have such a locked-in belief that if and when things progress to an obvious disaster level, you will be able to readjust your opinions. For the rest of us, if you have not yet provided the stockpile of food, water, etc., you will need to endure some weeks or even months of isolation in order to minimize your exposure to the COVID-19 disease. You should do so now. It seems clear to me that Dr. Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity is correct in his evaluation that some sort of balance between endangering people's lives from the virus, or endangering people's lives because of an economic collapse, or endangering people's lives because we allow our medical infrastructure to be completely overwhelmed by the speed of the spread of the disease, will have to be found. It does not matter which of these three things takes the center stage of our government's policies. Each of them involve the endangerment of people's lives. If decisions are made strictly from the medical aspect of slowing the spread of COVID-19, the quarantine and lockdown isolation that will be required to have any appreciable effect will cause massive destruction to the economic structure of our nation. Lack of production, lack of paychecks, etc., because workers are not allowed to go to work, is the most obvious result. The effects of keeping the economic engine running will endanger people by increasing their chances of catching the virus. It will also carry the risk of the disease spreading at a rate that will completely overwhelm our medical system infrastructure. It seems that we may be damned if we do, or damned if we don't. A look at the massive changes in the daily lives of the Chinese people, which in many cases continues to this day, shows us what is most likely in store for the United States. One aspect is the forced quarantine and lockdown. I would refer you to the report of the World Health Organization's team that just returned from China. Their statement that the city of Wuhan may be able to be open again sometime in the month of May of this year is sobering, considering that Wuhan went on lockdown in January. We are talking about a major disruption of freedom of movement and many other aspects for a period of at least 4 months and perhaps longer. It is also very problematic just how compliant will the population of the United States be about following the quarantine and lockdown rules. In any event, I think it probable that there will be a major disruption of our normal lives for months. Data reveals that it is the elderly, compared to those below the age of 65, who are least likely to survive if they catch COVID-19. It is important that the elderly begin now to build a trust with the younger generations so we can encourage them to think and be logical in their efforts when they do the rebuilding of our country. It will be up to the elderly who survive to steer the reset decisions as the rebuilding process takes place. We must find a way to make the younger generations understand that it is not the founding principles of our country that have led us to where we are at, but it is the departure from those principles that has caused many of the problems we see today. If you agree with the general direction this video is pointing, please, please help make it go viral. My videos are not monetized. I do not care about that. I just want to have a chance to help muster enough of my generation to think about the need to take advantage of this possible opportunity to help correct some of the things we sat by and watched go wrong with our country. It is time for us to clean up the mess we let happen. If I see enough interest in this video, I will follow up with more videos. I will cover some of the reset.
All right. Okay, Larry, so folks there, you can get it, put that in the, excuse me, put that in the chat, Jared or whatever, and then folks, you can grab that and help get that out there. I think that's a worthy approach, man. Listen, we ain't all going to die from that virus. But a lot of people could die from the consequences of that virus. That's something I think we're all okay.
Coach. Yep. I don't know if everyone realizes, but there is so much wisdom right here in this group of people. There is so much wisdom. If we will just open our ears and listen and hear, I'm telling you, Coach, God has assembled a team here. And it's an A-team. It's not, and we need to appreciate it, and we need to see the blessing and walk in this stuff. Walk in it. Practice it.
And Randy, as I say, you are all strategically. See, it'd be one thing if we were all here living together, right? But this group of people is literally, certainly nationwide and beyond that. And so you can become a beacon, a distributor of truth and ideas right where you are. The power of being able to do that, be able to network. Again, I was blown away at the Watchman conference of people, just everyday common people who are aware of what's going on. See, they're in their homes and they're doing Google searches and they're doing YouTube things, and they're getting it, but they're not sharing it with everybody because we all know how it is, right? We live in kind of an environment where people tend to make fun of anything that's common sense. So,
hey, Coach,
you're strategically placed. Understand that and go from there with it. Yeah, Jack.
Okay. What's the common thread here? And it's global, not just in the United States. The common thread is healthcare. The healthcare system is completely overwhelmed. The expectations of people is that I can walk in and get fixed of anything, and it should be at any cost, doesn't matter. So if the coronavirus scare shuts down the pharmaceutical production in China, which China has been absorbing something upwards of 60% of the pharmaceutical production of the world, they can easily kill off the weak or the infirm that are relying on the drugs coming from China. So if China production shuts down, people will die from a lack of their life-saving pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And it takes care of the economic difficulty in the UK, Germany, and the US because our free health care for everybody at any cost, no matter what, or anything, has destroyed the medical industry.
So how about this, Jack? I was thinking about this weekend. I like saying it. How about this, Jack? Because I'm like, I don't know who you are. Hey, what do you think of this, Jack? Open borders is going to go by the wayside, isn't it? Huh? Globalism. After this whole thing's over, aren't we going to say, hey, you know what? Maybe we ought to start producing our own antibiotics here. Maybe we shouldn't be going over in China and letting them do it. I think the Lord's doing something in our midst that this shaking, this disturbance ultimately, as Larry is saying, it could what an opportunity. This could be a great
again thing. Reset. It's a reset.
Yeah.
Be prepared, folks. Be prepared. It's a reset. Be prepared to be.
You know it has to
be. Now, wait a minute, Coach. Wait a minute. You're saying that it's bad for us as a nation to be dependent on a communist enemy?
Wow.
Is that what you mean?
That's a unique thought, isn't it? Yes, right. Huh? Our eyes are open, right? So, listen, Donald Trump's the one who said make America great again. Donald Trump's the one who came out against globalism. Wouldn't that be just the mercy of the Lord that he would do that? That he would awaken us to what's going on? Say, listen, folks, you're sitting around there, you're counting on China and all these foreign to bring you all your stuff because you can get it cheap. Hey, dudes, wake up here, man. You need to start producing it right where you are. That's one of the messages I'm seeing. Robert, are you ready to roll here this morning?
Hey, real quick. This is the same. Yeah, this is the same country that put backdoor chips in all the phones of our congressmen.
Oh my goodness, huh?
This is the same country that we're getting our pharmaceuticals from. It's the same country that makes our airplane fuselages out of inferior metal. It's the same country that uses up our coal. It's the same country.
God's merciful, isn't he, Mark? Huh? That he give us a gradual letdown?
So they will buy our debt.
Yeah, well, we know this, right? Our money's no good anyway. Maybe this is going to be a reset on our money, too.
So what's the collateral? Do you think those people, those Chinese, are morons? They got collateral. What's the collateral? I believe that the collateral is that they own the coal under Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Well, let them come and get it.
That's play with that one.
Yeah. Go ahead, Robert. March 9th. That's my sister's birthday. My sister Jane.
All right. March 9th. I know Larry will like the quote here before the devotion. It says, the institutional church is a great place to pretend. Being religious, shaking a few hands with a few favorite strangers, watching people sing just as I am before the exit in the same condition as they were. Okay, here it is. It's a real short, but those who bask in the sun, S-O-N, who are watered by the Spirit and are rooted in good soil, not hardened clay, will bear fruit. Our Heavenly Father prunes such ones to bear more fruit. He also disciplines those whom he loves, rescues those in whom he delights, and immediately abides in those who obey.
Amen.
A few conditions there. God is personally known by those who love him, delivers and sets free securely on high those who know and trust in his name. That's one of your favorite Psalms, 91.
Yes, sir.
And he seeks out those who truly worship him in spirit and truth. O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing love and kindness to who? To your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Again, another condition. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
Amen. Amen.
So, hey, Jerry, good news there.
Psalm 91 real quick. Psalm 91. Let me read that over everybody here today, all right? Psalm 91. What a time to be alive, man. Golly. What a time to be alive. Psalm 91. Let me see. Jared's got it up here for me, I think. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Surely, not maybe. Surely, this is if you're dwelling in the secret place. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Thank you, Lord. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror that flieth by night, nor that the coronavirus that flieth by day, nor from the pestilence that walketh in noon darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Because there's going to be 1,000 people get that virus and they're going to fall at your side. There's going to be 10,000 going to fall at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Wicked get rewarded, my friends. because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High. That's where I'm dwelling. That's my habitation. Because of that, there shall be no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now you bear, and though thou shalt bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon. You're going to trample all over those dudes. But because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long last life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hey, we're Christians. Let's act like it. Let's embrace the times in which we live. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.